Time to get pinning. This episode is all about Pinterest. You'll learn how to integrate Pinterest into your website, how to grow your list with a basic Pinterest funnel, what big mistakes you're probably making right now and how to fix them, why service-based businesses need to stop overlooking it, and how it is the lowest maintenance social media platform there is. You ready? Let's go. Amanda Ross here. During this episode, I wrote down so many notes that I had to start writing vertically on the page. It was crazy. Jana O takes us through so many actual steps that I could feel myself getting more and more and more excited as we talked. As a content manager and Pinterest strategist, she supports service-based entrepreneurs shape and consistently distribute messages that attract their ideal clients. She is a wealth of knowledge, and she is making massive impacts on her clients' businesses all using organic strategies. Can I get a hell yeah? I loved this. This was such a great discussion. It's so exciting. Before we get into it, I want to remind you about my growing Facebook group. This is the perfect place for women who are building engaging and creative online brands.
I love your group, Amanda. Your videos are absolutely the best,
said Katerina.
That was so cool. Love it,
said Kate.
This was awesome. You're so funny, Amanda,
said Ramonda. Those are just some of the things that my members are saying, which is super awesome. I love all you. Thank you so much. If you want to join, and I mean, really, why wouldn't you want to? Head over to brandinasnap.com/allthethings to get started. brandinasnap.com/allthethings to get started. And you can see the link right there and head over to the group and join. In the group, Helen asked,
any idea on the best way to share a PowerPoint presentation on a Facebook Live?
I'll share my answer after the interview, so make sure you stick around. All right, let's get the good stuff about Pinterest. Okay, guys, I'm super excited. This is great. I have somebody really special for you today. This is Jana O. Jana Ososfgi. Am I saying it right, Jana?
That's right, correct.
But we call her Jana O, and she is a content manager and Pinterest strategist. So we're going to talk about Pinterest today, and I'm super excited about this because this is an area for me that I still struggle with. So I'm really, really excited to learn and sort of soak in your knowledge, which is going to be amazing.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here.
Fantastic. So Jana, let's just take me back. Tell me, you know, what you do to help others. How did you get here? Give me the story.
Oh, sure. So I have a background in marketing and sales, and I worked for companies and universities and hospitals for many years, and then decided at one point to transition to doing something that was more location independent, and started doing online marketing for a couple of entrepreneurs, and my practice has grown. And now I am a content manager and also a Pinterest strategist. So I have a subspecialty, if you will, in helping online coaches, consultants, and course creators, and really service providers of any type with Pinterest strategies. So I help them set up Pinterest in a way that's strategic and low maintenance so that it will drive traffic to their websites. And the ultimate goal is to grow their email lists with people who are in their ideal audience category, who are attracted to their content and, you know, could be customers for them that they would love to work with.
Something very specific, which is awesome, is that you actually work with service-based, because a lot of stuff on Pinterest is like physical items.
Absolutely. Yeah, there are a lot of people who do really well on Pinterest with products, Etsy stores, crafters, people who are really prolific bloggers who are blogging daily. My customers definitely are a little bit different, and I work more with service providers, as I mentioned. Yeah.
Over the time that you've been actually building your business and growing, what has been the most challenging moment for you, and how did you handle that?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Certainly, there have been a lot of challenges with transitioning to working for other people to working for myself. Trying to think if it was really one moment. I mean, one of my initial challenges, I think, when you go from sort of focusing, dog, when you go from focusing on, you know, the deliverables or the goals and the strategies of one particular entity, like a company that you're working for, and then you transition to working with multiple clients who all have different strategies and different goals and different brand voices, there's sort of a time where it takes, for me, it took me a little while to transition to being able to figure out workflows that worked for me for in that way. And I remember when I first started my business, I was super, time management was really an issue, and it was difficult to balance all of those different priorities. And I found myself jumping from task to task and not really being able to focus on getting particular things done. So I don't know if it was really a particular moment, but I think that was my biggest challenge in building my business. And the answer to that for me was project management software and learning to work in sprints and batches. So that's a whole other conversation, but time management, I think, was initially the first challenge, but definitely have overcome that and learned some great techniques, which I'd be happy to share with you on another day.
Yeah, that's amazing. So why do you think, like people like myself that still can't figure out Pinterest, why do you think though that they're missing such a critical piece to the business?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons why people kind of overlook Pinterest as an option for visibility, to be part of their visibility plan. I think there's still definitely a sense among people that it is really for things like recipes and crafts and decorating, and a lot of us use it for that. And I certainly do, and I did, and I continue to use it on a personal level for curating things that have to do with my, you know, my life and the things that I enjoy to do. So people still think of it that way. And so when they first hear about Pinterest for business, for a service based organization, especially for a coach or a course creator or a consultant, they think, well, that's not really for me. That's for those people. And on the flip side of that coin, that's really one of the reasons why it can be such a powerful strategy, because people are going to Pinterest looking for inspiration and ideas. And frankly, they're looking for ways to spend their money on solutions to dilemmas that they may be facing in their lives or in their businesses. So Pinterest has about 175 million active pinners. They are mostly women. And the interesting thing about them too is that their average household income, about 50% of pinners have a household income of $50,000 or higher, which is much higher than the average social media user. And they're looking for solutions. So they're there, really looking for ways to spend their money on things that'll make their lives and businesses better. In fact, 87% of pinners report to have made a purchase that was Pinterest driven. And the average Pinterest driven purchase is $50, which is really different than the average, say, Facebook-driven purchase, which is $3. So, you know, people overlook it, but it can be really powerful. And people kind of overlook it for the same reason that it can be powerful, because people are there excited to find ways to spend their money and make things better. So I would say that's the first thing. And then I think most people think of it as more of a social media platform. And so they're sort of trying to apply what they know about Facebook and LinkedIn to their strategy with Pinterest. And it doesn't work that way, because it's not really a social platform. It's more of a search engine. So I think people sort of start a strategy, or they start an account for their business, and then they kind of get frustrated because they're either not seeing results or they're not understanding how to really leverage it or how to set it up in a way that's strategic, that's going to serve their business.
Yeah, because a lot of, obviously, you know, the LinkedIns and the Facebooks of the world, it's a lot of conversation driven, you know, topics and social media. And so on Pinterest, I know that you can add comments, but like, is that something that matters? Is that important?
I would say it doesn't matter a lot. So on Pinterest, there really is, just culturally speaking, no expectation really that people are going to engage on Pinterest. There aren't a lot of back and forth conversations that people are having. Yes, there is the ability to comment. There's even the ability to like or love particular pins, but that is really, it's just not the norm. Most people are not doing that. And so the great thing about that is that Pinterest can be set up to be extremely low maintenance and yet very effective for driving traffic to your content and growing your list. Because it's not like LinkedIn or Facebook, where you really need to be engaging daily and for a certain amount of time, really every day or most days, in order to be able to see results.
I loved all those numbers you shot off. I love stats. So I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
87%, really? That's amazing. I hear you. And I did, even for myself, like I looked at Pinterest and said, okay, I'm going to try to do something. But it's just, I was like, what do I, you know, what do people care about? Do like, or do I worry about that? Or do I just post my blog? You know, I was a bit lost there.
Yeah. And the answer to that really is a little bit of both. You do post your own content, what I call your original content pins that point to your content and your website, encourage people to take an action that you would like them to take. And then you also blend that or mix it in your boards with content that you've curated from other people that your audience would also benefit from, connect to, find of interest.
Right. And so now, do I use Pinterest as Amanda or do I use Pinterest as my business name?
Oh, that's a great question. That's another way that it's different from Facebook. You can do any of the above. So on Facebook, you need to have a business page that is linked to a profile. You know, you can't have a business page without having a profile, right? On Pinterest, you can have multiple profiles. You can have multiple business profiles and multiple personal profiles. That does not go against their TOS. And you could have a business profile and a personal profile, or you could just have a business profile. The only configuration I wouldn't really recommend if you're going to use it for business is I wouldn't just have a personal profile and not use the tools that you can easily access by converting your profile to a business profile. For some people, when I work with clients, one of the first things we do is determine whether we want to use their current profile that they've been using for personal and convert that to a business profile, or if they would prefer, or if it makes more sense for their strategy to start from scratch with a new business profile and, you know, maintain two separate profiles, personal and business.
If you do that, so like right now, like I have my own personal profile and I have one of my, boards is called the business name and I post things in there. But if I had sort of a business profile, would I then sort of only focus on my niche or would I still pin things about shoes or whatever?
So I always say that you're going to basically be creating boards that are on the vertical and the horizontal. So the way I think of that is like one of those would be the things that have to do with your niche and what you do for business. And then the other one, and I don't know which one's vertical and horizontal, honestly, but I just think of it that way. The other one would be things that your ideal audience cares about. So for instance, for your business, you would probably post things about website design, about branding, about marketing online. But then you also would want to think about who is your ideal audience, who are those people that you just love working with and are, you know, you're at your highest and best with, and what things might they be interested in. So for instance, if you're a business coach and you really love working with, let's say, mompreneurs that have multiple kids, for instance, if that's something, someone who you really would love to attract, then you might create boards that would appeal to that person. So in addition to business coaching topics, you might also create boards about being a mom and finding balance with working at home as a mom. So, and then you can get into more details, specifics about what types of boards you'd want to create for that audience. So it's the vertical and the horizontal. So you're basically curating, you know, content that person is going to find of interest.
As a service-based business, how do I actually generate leads from Pinterest? Am I just always sending them to a landing page?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think it's important to really kind of talk about the basics in order to be able to really kind of get the idea. So let me back up a step if it's okay with you, just kind of share the basic Pinterest funnel. Because yes, you would be pinning some landing pages. You can really pin anything that you like, technically speaking, but there are some things that sort of convert better than others. So your ideal client finds you on Pinterest because, as I mentioned, they're looking for a solution to a dilemma. And you have a program or a course or a service that could possibly help her if she's a good fit for that and if you're a good fit for her. So you want her to find you, first of all, and Pinterest is huge. So as I mentioned, 175 billion users. You want her to find you. So the first thing that you do, and probably the most important thing that you do, which is also probably the thing that people make the mistake of not doing, is that your profile has to be highly keyword optimized. So it's a search engine first and foremost. And one of the very first things I always do with clients is we develop a keyword plan where we are actually brainstorming together keywords and doing extensive, I do this part of it, keyword research to find out what people actually are searching for on Pinterest And that can be a little different than what people are searching for on Google and YouTube, because it's a separate, separate search engine from the rest of the internet, if you will. And then you utilize those keywords, both regular just keywords and also phrases, what we might call long tail keywords in regular SEO, to fully keyword optimize every aspect of your profile. And that includes places like your bio, your board titles, your board descriptions, which is something a lot of people miss, and then each individual pin that you pin that is your original content pin, meaning something that gets pinned or points to a URL that is on your website or your landing page. So that's really the first step, is having a really good keyword plan and then utilizing it everywhere you can. The second part of the funnel is your graphics. So this is the part, Amanda, that you might get excited about.
Yes.
This is the fun part. The pins themselves need to be eye-catching, because you want people to see them in a sea of pins and recognize them as something that they will like. And so there's some visual aspects to that, and then there's some aspects of creating good copy on the pins if you're going to do text overlay, which most of us do if we're service providers. So the pins themselves, the graphics that you create, need to be eye-catching. You want them to be on brand for you, of course. And they really need to come across as kind of irresistible to that person. So you ideally would like them to have a strong call to action and preview something that you're offering them. So that could be a lead magnet. It could be a blog post with some really actionable stuff that's going to help them to solve that problem or to augment that area of their life that they were researching when they found you with keywords. Something that, you know, she really just has to have that'll help her get on that path to that solution or give her that solution. And then she clicks through, consumes your content, ideally, on your website if she lands on it and finds it to be congruent with what she thought she would find when she got there. And she really ideally would want something that you're offering, whether that's a content upgrade on your blog post or a lead magnet of some kind, and therefore she would choose to opt into your list. So that's sort of like the ideal Pinterest funnel. And the process by which someone finds you, finds your content and then consumes it and becomes part of your universe. And then once she's on your list, of course, you know, your nurture sequence would take over, and that would be the process by which she, you know, comes to know, like, and trust you, and then would become a customer.
I definitely have not given any descriptions, I don't think, to my boards, for sure.
So okay.
I love that. The one question I do have here, I mean, I have lots of questions, but one thing I always notice is the sizes of pins. Does it matter if they're the landscaped or are they long? Is there a certain length that's best? Does that matter?
There are a couple different ways to answer that. Really the most accurate way is to say it really depends on you and your brand and what works for you. And that's why we like to look at analytics and A/B test things. But generally for your particular brand. But sure. Generally speaking, yes, pins that do better on Pinterest are 2x3. So there are some different, sizes that you can use for that. But generally 2 to 3 is the ratio. Vertical pins. And there are a couple reasons why those do better, and this is sort of a real generalization, but one of them is that the Pinterest algorithm prefers them, so they're going to give you, you know, better positioning if that's the size. And then secondly, pinners prefer them. So, you know, people are going to engage with them in the ways that we want them to more often when they are that size. So yes, it definitely, it can matter. There was a trend for a while. There are always trends back and forth in Pinterest, and it's great to keep your finger on the pulse of them if you're going to have a real, you know, serious Pinterest strategy going on. There was a trend to do these really long pins. Some people call them giraffe pins now.
I know which ones you're talking about. It's always with cats in them.
Yeah, sometimes. Or like exercise pins. Sometimes recipes can do really well with that, where you're showing different steps of a process.
Right.
Pinterest is actually cutting those off now, and they're not letting the entire pin show. So the full pin is no longer what we would call like above the fold when you're scrolling.
Oh, okay.
So we definitely don't want to use that size anymore, especially for service providers, because there really isn't any need to use a pin that's that long for a service provider. So I would definitely stick to the 2-to-3 ratio. It's really just the simplest way. I'm all about creating a low maintenance Pinterest strategy that's easy for a service provider to maintain. So I definitely highly recommend just sticking to the 2-to-3 ratio.
What can people do? So you, if you get your Pinterest going and everything, is there anything you can do on your website to make it more like Pinterest friendly?
Yeah, for sure. And I actually help a lot of clients with that. That's part of a service that I provide. So I point that out really just because I feel strongly that if someone's going to invest their time or their money or both in a Pinterest strategy, that they want to really make sure that they're optimizing the traffic that Pinterest can send to your website, because you can end up with massive traffic from Pinterest to your website. But what that traffic is going to do when it gets there is equally important, if not more important, because the major KPI is the key performance indicator for success with Pinterest is, for my strategy and my clients anyway, going to be, are people converting to your email list?
Right.
So I always recommend that for service providers and coaches, consultants, that type that I work with, that they take a look at their blog and see if they can identify maybe three, I would say would be the minimum, but anywhere from 3 to 10 blog posts that they think are really their cornerstone kind of content that they really think answers those burning questions that their ideal client has for them all the time, and to take those and really optimize them in a way that makes it so that they are actionable. Ideally, people love listicles these days, top 10 ways to do this, or the 6 mistakes you might be making, that type of thing.
Right.
And then to make sure that there is a place on that blog post and a place for opting into your email list and a motivation that you're offering them something of real value for them to give you their email list, their email address. So I recommend that you utilize some kind of plugin or method. You'll know better than I, Amanda. You can maybe chime in on that, but to actually have a lead capture on every page that would offer some kind of lead magnet. And I also recommend that when you are optimizing those blog posts, that you think about creating some kind of content upgrade, which basically is like a lead magnet, but is a specific freebie that really relates directly to the actionable information that you've provided to that person in a blog post. So, for instance, I'm working with a style coach right now, and she has a really great post that does really well on, top 10 tips for traveling with ease and looking great, right? So she talks about her top 10 tips, and then if you love her content and you want to go a little further, you can opt in and receive her what we call a content upgrade, which is her 14-page checklist on like that sort of breaks down like ideally like what to bring for different types of vacations. So it gets into a lot more detail and gives you even more actionable information. And that converts really well for her. Most people who land on her page decide that they also want that content upgrade, and so they join her list.
Checklists work really well. People
for
love a
sure.
checklist.
So that would be one thing I would say to optimize your website that way, to make sure that, when people are landing there, there's a way and a motivation for them to convert to your email list. There are other ways, of course, to optimize your website. Those would be things I would say would be things that you might want to mention, Amanda. Things that you would say would be ways, I know you're an expert on that, is the client or the customer experience once they land on your website is an important part of that
For sure.
conversion funnel.
And in terms of like when you do your blogs, should you be making sure that whether it's your featured image or an image within the blog, is that 2x3 Pinterest friendly graphic?
So it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
I would say that as long as you're being, you, the goal is definitely to make it so that that customer experience is such that whatever is in the pin, whatever you're promising, is what they're going to find when they land on your page. Because any of us who are on Pinterest know it's frustrating when, you click through to something that looks great and you get there and either the content is completely different or you can't find the content you were looking for. So in order, and Pinterest actually, believe it or not, can see the bounce rates on your website. So, that's not going to help you in the algorithm if your pin is not actually accurate as far as reflecting what they're going to see when they get to your content. So, I think that it's if you, to the degree that you can really make it match, That's great. And so one of the best practices is if you're going to use a featured image, for instance, for a blog post, it may not be the same size as the pin, but perhaps it's using the same colors or the same image. So there may be a workflow where whenever you write a new blog post, you're creating three different images, the featured image, the image that you are adding, you know, halfway down that talks about the content upgrade, and then the pin as well. And then whether or not you put the pin on the actual blog post page is really up to you. Some people like to do that because it encourages people who might have landed on your blog post from another place. They may have come from, you know, just finding you organically, or perhaps they came from your email list. It would encourage them to go ahead and pin that image because they see that it's a pinnable image. And if they're on Pinterest, they'd pin it. But it doesn't have to be there, but it can be. So it depends on your strategy, I would say. But you definitely want to make sure that whatever's there looks and feels similar to the pin.
Right. Yeah. I totally get that. Makes sense. Yeah, for sure. And so on Pinterest, do you is there a way that you can see how many people have actually clicked on a pin, or is that not available?
Yes, you can see that. You can see that in a couple different places. You can see that in your own analytics reports, which are in Pinterest. You can see it. Trying to think if you actually, I don't think you can see the number of clicks through to your website on the pin. They just actually changed up what numbers you can see on your pins. And I can't remember if that one's there or not. It may be. But you can definitely see it on your analytics. The other place that you can see it is and analyze those numbers is in your scheduling software. I recommend that people use a scheduling software called Tailwind, and I recommend it for a bunch of reasons. But one of the reasons that it's great to use it is because it does offer you those types of analytics, and it helps you with your strategy in terms of repinning, frequency of repinning, where you want to send things, and also it helps you to know what kind of content and what types of pins are performing best for your audience. So yeah, you can see that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, I've actually never heard of Tailwind. I'm totally going to check that out. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great software. It's extremely it has a lot of great features. And as I mentioned, my goal is always to set up a really streamlined, easy process for my clients. And I'll tell you, Tailwind has the features you need. And then it has a lot of features that would be much more advanced as well. But it's either $10 a month or $15 a month, depending on which package you go with. So it's really affordable.
Right.
And it helps with a lot of the, it helps you in a lot of ways.
I love new tools. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Cool.
Awesome. And so you did mention that they did change some of the numbers, because now correct me if I'm wrong, you used to be able to see when you search for something, what pins were getting pinned the most. It would give you a number. I don't see that anymore. For anybody's.
Your pins? Oh, anybody's pins.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They did actually make some changes to the interface for you when you're looking at other people's pins. And my understanding about the reason they did that was because they didn't want people, pinners, if you will, making decisions about what to engage with and what to repin based on those numbers. They wanted those decisions to be made more based on the content and how relevant people felt that it was to them and to their boards that they're curating. So you're absolutely right. Some of those numbers did go away. The numbers that you can see for your own pins are still there, but you can't see a lot of those numbers anymore for other people's pins. Yeah, that was a big change.
You know, I was actually looking at what topics people were really interested in for.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? How? I don't know now. What am I going to do?
Well, there are a lot of ways to do that. You know, the best thing to do is to really look at your own account and your own engagement and see what people are engaging best with. There's also some new tools that I'm just learning about now that Pinterest has in beta that are the fifth option down on your analytics in the upper left-hand corner.
Okay.
And just for listeners, you do have to have a business account, which is very easy to convert to, but all of these features are only available in a business account. But the fifth item down is a new tool for analytics that help you to understand your own audience and what types of things they're interested in and pinning in addition, you know, your own content and other people's content. So that's a new place that you can look, Amanda, if you're looking to try to figure some of those things out.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And now ads. What do you think about Pinterest ads?
You know, I will be totally honest with you. I don't really get into the ads.
Okay.
My growth strategies are all organic. It's something
I love that,
Keep
going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that I would like to learn more about. I haven't used them for my own business or my client's business yet. I did have one client, a business coach, who has just really, her account's been on fire. She's just doing really well. And she had wanted to do some pin promotion, and I did refer her to a coworker, or a coworker, I guess it's not, that's an old throwback word to my corporate days, right? A colleague, I guess would be a better term, who does the promoted pins.
Right.
And she's doing really well with her promoted pins. It's definitely a great area to look into, but it's not something that I know a lot about.
Amazing. Okay. No, that's cool. That's super interesting that you actually just do it organically. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's definitely my focus for
yeah.
sure.
If our listeners could, what three things could they implement right now that would boost this whole Pinterest area?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because people definitely need actionable stuff. I would say that in the Pinterest world, it's easy to get overwhelmed.
Yes.
Because just like any other platform, there's always more to learn about it. But you can do really well if you know what to focus on. And I would say there are three things that you can do to focus on. One of them is to make sure you're creating really standout branded visuals. So creating attractive professional graphics are definitely going to help you get noticed. We talked about the fact that they need to be vertical.
Right.
They need to be legible. I can't tell you how many pins that I see that you can't even read them. it's like, why are you doing this? They need to have a strong call to action if you, want your profile to perform for you. And I would say the second thing is the keyword research and keyword optimization. One of the biggest, just number one things you can do, today, if you want to improve your Pinterest numbers, is to spend about an hour doing some keyword research. Make a list of 10 keyword phrases or words that you think your ideal clients are looking for. Take them one by one and put them into the Pinterest search bar at the top. And look and see what long tail keywords are coming up in the row across the bottom of that search bar. Take those and from your 10 keywords, end up with a list of maybe 25 to 30 long tail keywords that you want to rank for. And then take those and write keyword optimized descriptions for each of your boards. That's definitely a big thing that I see people not doing. Go into each of the boards and write a description. Use every one of your characters and get as many of those keywords in there as you can gracefully.
Yes.
Don't want to keyword stuff. You want to write something that's prose, P-R-O-S-E,
yes.
that tells someone what the board is like and what like things you like to pin there. But do that, and honestly, within a week, you'll see your numbers go way up if you just do some keyword optimization.
Amazing.
And then the third thing I would say is consistency. Pinterest algorithm, Pinterest really prefers when you post multiple times per day throughout the day and most days of the week. But you don't have to sit down and, be glued to your computer to do that. You can use a software like Tailwind and sit down once a month. This is what I recommend to my clients, and I actually do like a custom workflow for them and show them how to do this. Sit down once a month and schedule out for 30 days and then set it and forget it and go back 30 days later. Do a little bit of analysis if you'd like to and then schedule for the next 30 days.
Right.
You can even increase or adjust the workflow and the math a little bit. And when I say math, it's very simple math. Don't worry, I'm not good at math, but you can adjust it a little bit to do your scheduling for 60 or 90 days even.
Oh.
And then set it and forget it and see your numbers grow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I love
So consistency. This. But yeah. So bringing that back to just a consistency, you do that so that you don't, get up in that situation where you commit to being consistent, but then you don't have the time or you don't have the focus or you're trying to work in sprints and it doesn't fit into your sprints.
And so do you ever post the same content twice or just one?
Yes.
Time?
Oh,
yes. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. And that is also a big adjustment that people need to make when they're adjusting to how to use Pinterest for their business. Because in other platforms, social media platforms, it's considered kind of spammy, to do that, to just
yes.
be like, if you looked at my Facebook page right now and you could see that I had literally posted the exact same post with the same graphic and the same words 20 times in the last month. You'd right. be like, what? That's weird, right? But on Pinterest, that's actually exactly what you do. And I know it's a little hard for people to adjust to that and understand, but you have to know that 90 to 95% of the people that find your pins on Pinterest never even look at your actual boards or your profile. They find them through searches that they're doing, keyword searches, and they find them in their smart feed because Pinterest believes, based on the keywords that you've used and how other people have engaged and interacted with your content, that they too would be interested in your content. So you do repin the same pins over and over again. And that is exactly what happens on Pinterest. And it's the norm.
Okay.
So even if someone did go to your Pinterest profile and say, oh, I want to look at her board and see what she's curating on this board, which does happen from time to time, if they saw the same pin had occurred with lots of other pins in between, but if they saw the same pin had occurred on that board multiple times, that's fine. No one, you know, they probably wouldn't even notice. But if they did, it's not a faux pas on Pinterest.
Oh my God, it's amazing. I could talk to you all friggin' day.
Well, we can talk more if you want.
I love it.
We can pause the program and talk more.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Eh? There's so much interesting stuff here. I love it so much.
Oh, cool. I'm glad. Glad you find it interesting.
Let's slow this down because I mean, like I said, I could do this all day and I'm sure everyone wants to hear more. And if they want to hear more, they can come and find you. So where can they find you?
So my website is janaomedia.com. Okay.
I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Okay, great. It's Janao, which is the first initial of my last name, and then the word media.com. And on my website, you'll see a couple of different areas where you can learn more about Pinterest. I do have a free checklist for Pinterest.
Awesome.
I will let any listeners know in advance, just so you know, because I'm all about making sure that you're going to get what you think you're going to get when you get there, that the checklist is only really specifically for online coaches, course creators, consultants, service providers.
Okay.
It doesn't have, you know, it's not going to be super helpful for anyone who's selling a product or a craft or has an Etsy store or something like that. I have some great resources for that I could give you if someone wanted to reach out and ask me for help in that area. But my checklist is specifically for that service provider, coach, course creator, consultant perfect. Audience.
Perfect. That's probably who's going to be listening to this anyway. So that's perfect.
Okay. Great.
Amazing. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Jana. I learned so much. You don't even know. I filled up a whole sheet and I had to even start writing vertically on it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I have all kinds of notes. I'm so excited about this.
Oh, that's so great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to have been able to share some secrets.
Seriously, that was amazing. I barely even spoke, as you could tell. I was just taking notes the whole time. Check out janaomedia.com to get more of that and grab her free checklist at janaomedia.com/Pinterest checklist.
Time for a tip.
Let me share my answer to Helen's question from my Facebook group. Again, she asked,
any idea on the best way to share a PowerPoint presentation on a Facebook Live?
Yes, there are a couple of ways. One, you can start the live on your computer right through Facebook rather than using your mobile phone. If you do this, you can share your screen to Facebook. They actually have an option on your computer, on the desktop, you can do this. Note, you cannot flip back and forth in this option. So if you start with screen sharing, you have to end with screen sharing. You cannot start with headshot and then flip to screen sharing. It's one or the other. Two, there are a couple of different tools out there that allow you to do this. One of them is Crowdcast, but it can be a little bit pricey, but it's a great product. The other one that I love and I use is called Ecamm, E-C-A-M-M Live, Ecamm Live. However, this is only for Mac computers. I know it's either too expensive or it's only for Macs. There's lots of other options though. I promise these aren't the only two. The reason why I love Ecamm though is because it lets me switch from anything. So I can start in headshot talking to you face to face, then I could switch to screen sharing, then I could switch to loading up a pre-recorded video, and then I can go back to the headshot. Lets me just flip around however I like it. And it records the whole live automatically for me, which I love, keeps it super, super duper simple for me. So check out all of those to see if any of them work for you. And if you want to hear all the answers to all the other questions that are being asked in the Facebook group, Be Snaps, just like the podcast name, check it out. Head over there, brandinasnap.com/allthethings, and head over to the Facebook group called Be Snaps, or just be on Facebook and search B-Snaps and you'll find us. You'll get tips, online training, live brainstorming sessions, watch parties, and so much more. We have so much fun. That is it for this episode, guys. Catch you in the next one. Have a kick-ass day.